This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Today, talking about economic development. Brian Prowitz, Executive Director of the MPLAC Economic Development Partnership, if I can get that out. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, how you doing, Kyle?
Sometimes that is a mouthful. How long have you been on the job with this?
Going on 18 months here. July of 23 is when I was hired.
And how do you feel like it's gone so far?
I love my job. I think it's gone well. The first thing we had to do was remind people of the value and the role that the partnership plays in Douglas County, and that basically is to generate opportunities for people, improve the economy, and it really comes down to jobs. In some cases, it comes to recruiting new business, helping the businesses that currently exist to remain strong or expand, and some other things around all of that. So from where we started to where we are now, I think we've done I think you'd have to ask my board, I guess, but I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Well, and it's been during a kind of a tough economic time, especially with inflation and prices and things like that, causing businesses to think very deeply about big ticket items or expansion or adding more staff sometimes.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that hits in a lot of different places. One of them is, how does that affect the workforce? Almost every single employer in Douglas County is still short jobs. They almost all have positions open, and they're looking for people to fill those jobs. And then it comes down to workforce training. It comes down, if you're trying to recruit people from outside the area, then it comes down to housing, and then you run into the interest rate and all of the forces around our housing situation. So I think my attitude is that there's always going to be significant challenges, whether the economy is good or the economy is struggling or there are big forces at work. We have to do the best we can with the landscape that we're given. And what I'm encouraged by is the phone still rings. There are still companies that are knocking on the door and asking about properties here and there. And so I'm encouraged by that.
What are some of the things you've been learning? I was just sort of fast diving through what you put out every month for just to let folks know about what the partnership's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my board report, essentially. I've been writing sort of amateur guest columns. I wouldn't say that they're quite prime time ready for the news review, but just some thoughts that have struck me here and there. So I don't know. Do you have anything specific?
Well, just as you've traveled around and kind of looked at what's going on other places,
yeah.
Do you see some of the same struggles?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, you know, interest rates and housing inventory shortages and some of those challenges are everywhere you go. But what I do see is other locations, other places are doing the job of trying to solve some of those issues. So whether it's childcare or housing or trying to recruit to their area, I think that Douglas County is behind that curve and we need to catch up a little bit. And so I went to an infrastructure summit in Corvallis this past year and did a walking tour of downtown Albany. And whether it's Albany or I went to Alaska and I wrote about that too. When I see like really healthy downtowns or really healthy communities, I see a vibrant, very active chamber. I see a vibrant and very evident visitors association, and I see a strong downtown association. And we have those pieces, some of them, but I think there's a lot of collaboration that can still take place, and I'm trying to put some of that together. So the blessing and the curse of this role is everywhere you go, you're comparing and contrasting and asking questions about how did they get here and what could we learn from them. And what's pretty cool is when you call them up and say that you're the executive director of the local economic development organization here in Douglas County, it gets you through to the people you can talk to really find out how something happened and then hopefully learn from it.
Now, you mentioned childcare, and that oftentimes is a really big deal, especially mm-hmm. depending on people's personal family situation mm-hmm. or they come to an area where they don't have the connections, they don't have, you know, grandparents around or things like that. And especially at an average wage job or even a bit above, it can be kind of a deal breaker about what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, we're losing recruits to Douglas County, either because they can't find housing, which has eased a little bit, but they can't find childcare, which is still just as desperate as it was before. And it isn't so much I can't find childcare. It's usually, for a lot of people that are already here, it's I can't even afford childcare. If you have two or three kids in childcare, that's usually a mortgage payment for your house. So I know when my kids were younger, my wife stayed home for a while because going to work just meant that that money she was earning was going to go to pay a childcare provider. But more recently, that was a long time ago, by the way. But as we look at it right now, this is a major economic development issue, childcare, and finding ways to close the gap between what it costs to operate a childcare, how do they keep their employees, and how do they pay their employees a fair wage so that the quality of that care is good. And then at the same time, though, how does a family afford to pay that much? There's a gap there. The state has taken some steps to try to close that gap, but it's a very imperfect effort. And so we have childcare providers that their waiting list is very, very long, even though they have to charge what they do in order to provide the service they provide. But it isn't just about finding a place for your kids to go. It's a quality, safe, trusted level of childcare that is even more difficult to find. And there's a group in town, the Douglas County Childcare Coalition, led by Robin Van Winkle at Douglas ESD. And we meet pretty consistently with providers and agency representatives and people that are affected by this, trying to solve some of these issues and trying to make it so that, if nothing else, we're advocating correctly at the state level to ask for more help to try to close that gap, because it is a serious, serious barrier for workforce, for economic development in Douglas County. One of these days soon, you'll see a video from the Douglas County Child Care Coalition that's currently in production right now, trying to connect those things, especially to people that don't have kids or grandkids, that so they're not necessarily aware of the direct impact it has on economic development.
Well, and as well as part of that sometimes is the fact that not everybody, especially in single parents, is working an 8-to-5, 9-to-6 job. They may need to be at work. They may be in healthcare. Yeah. They may be working graveyard at the hospital or something like that.
Or if their provider is sick and then you can't go to work, or or one of your other kids is sick and you got to take them to the doctor or something in the middle of the night. Like, where's the emergency care if you would need somebody to watch? So there's a lot of facets to it. And a lot of places, I'll tell you, the places that have succeeded in answering this and beginning to lay out some solutions typically are getting help from the large employers in the area. Now, the large employers in the area don't really like to hear that because they can't be seen to solve every problem, including even workforce housing, for instance. But there are places that have absorbed the liability of building their own daycare center on their campus of their factory, let's say, in order to provide childcare for their employees as a benefit. But that is a really big investment that not every company can do, especially with some of the other forces that we were just talking about.
Well, and a lot of times something like that you would expect, you know, at a big company, you know, I can think of, let's say at Nike in Beaverton, if you're dealing on that scale, it's a lot harder to pull that off when you're at the scale of most and size of most Douglas County businesses.
For sure. But even so, if you want to talk about a huge company like that, or Intel, or a school district, for instance, I mean, there are some really big school districts around as well. There's a liability factor with that. It's all relative scale as well. So if one of those big companies we just mentioned is going to open up a childcare facility, they might have, I don't know what the number would even be, 200 or 250 kids. And around here, if we could open a facility that could handle 40 or 50 children, by the way, we aren't even designating between 0 to 2 or 0 to 5 and then 6 to 14 here. We're just lumping all the kids together. But even if one of our local companies could afford to put something together to house 40 or 50 kids, the relative, level of commitment, the cost, and the liability is very similar in scale to what those bigger companies in the big cities would have to put out.
All right. More about economic development in a moment when we come back. Brian Prowitz, Executive Director of the EMCO Economic Development Partnership. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Congresswoman Val Hoyle on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. Brian Prowitz, Executive Director of the Umpqua Economic Development Partnership, in here now talking about development issues. We just talked about housing, or about child care. Let's talk about housing for a moment. Obviously, the whole country, I mean, everywhere you go, it's rare to not hear the discussion. It really kind of started, it seemed like, in the 08-09 recession, where housing just stopped, and it's never really caught back up. And that was, you know, 15, 16 years ago. And at whatever price point you're at, communities around Douglas County, you're well aware people have come here and turned down jobs because they couldn't find a place to live.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. There's two sides to this coin. One is the continued effort to try to find housing in what we're calling the middle housing gap, which would be between 250,000 and 400. Market rate right now in Douglas County, starting new homes right now, are $400,000. And nearly no one, even with two incomes, makes enough to necessarily cover the 30% that you're supposed to be doing for housing with that salary. So between what people are making and what it costs to live and buy houses, that gap is 250,000 to maybe 400,000. We're calling that the missing, well, we're calling that the middle housing gap. And kind of like childcare we were just talking about, Kyle, the gap between what people are making and what they can afford and what it costs to live in a new house these days, certainly there are other options, is just a gap that is not closing. The other side of that coin is there are housing developments in some phase of development in Roseburg, Myrtle Creek, Winston, and Sutherland. So somehow some people are figuring it out, but for the most part, those are market rate houses that start at 400,000, not maybe a 1,000 square foot house on a smaller lot, built maybe more modestly for the bargain basement price of 300. So we're doing a lot of work. We talk a lot with either representatives of organizations like the Missing Middle Housing Fund or developers like, we talk a lot with Hayden Homes and Simplicity Homes about what they do, and other builders too, to try and look for solutions that will fill that middle housing gap. And we have to do it. We just have to. There are other communities that are figuring this out. And in Douglas County, we got to be really good at this and try to figure out a solution.
It seems like from some of the folks I've talked to that are based more on the East Coast, that one of the things we don't do here as much as is done back there is multifamily development. It's duplexes, mm-hmm. It's triplexes, quadplexes, things like that, where you can build that way and bring the cost down to a more affordable level and still get, you know, around the amount of square footage you're looking for.
Yeah, I think you're going to start to see that change, though, because the state has density requirements. As we talk about how to build affordable, quote-unquote affordable housing, this is something that comes up as a potential solution. And when you think duplex or when you think affordable housing, you're going to have to adjust your perception on what pops up in your head visually, because there are a lot of very creative, very attractive ways to build these kinds of places. And I think you're going to see a little bit more of that. But there are a couple of things in Oregon that those guys on the East Coast don't have. And one of them is very strict land use laws. As Governor Kotek is talking about adding housing and wanting to build more housing all the time, the land use laws in Oregon are restrictive on that. So there has to be some sort of an adjustment on that. And there are some pretty good ideas that are rejected at the state level because they don't fit whatever the perception is of what it's going to take to open up the housing inventory. So that, and obviously interest rates, I mean, and the cost of land. There are places where land doesn't cost as much and the housing is not as much as it is out here. So that's a pretty big difference between the East Coast dilemma or other places and what we have in Oregon.
Along with housing and childcare, what are some of the other big issues you're looking at for helping economic development?
Well, just finding good workers. Finding workers, I want to rephrase that for sure. The problem is that most trained professional workers in Douglas County already have a job. So if you're trying to expand and grow and you have an additional 50 or 100 jobs, you have two choices. One is to try and provide some sort of a benefit that will attract somebody to move from the job they currently have to yours within Douglas County, or the other is to go recruit them from outside. And man, when you talk about educators, you talk about medical, you talk about some professional service, it is super duper hard to get people to come here and stay here for a variety of reasons. But workforce and filling the existing openings that are available right now. I mean, you know, Roseburg Forest Products expanding historically in Douglas County, they need workers. So recruiting them and getting them here, giving them housing, finding childcare, all the stuff we're talking about, it's all wrapped into a big challenge that we work on every day.
Well, a lot to consider there. Do you feel like we're seeing any improvement in any of this?
Yes, because we continually are talking about it. We're looking at other examples in other places. I have an incredible board of directors and members who want to tackle this and are collaborating to talk about the issues and try to find those solutions. And so I think it's a slow crawl forward that occasionally might trip forward into a little more speed once in a while. But these are all really big things that are going to take us working together, maybe adjusting some of our expectations or perceptions of some of these things in order to start knocking down some of these problems.
And one of the things probably tied into that is the partnerships with the area school districts and with the college, and also some of the college programs working with other institutions to try to keep people here to begin with and not make the giant exit when they turn 18.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about workforce training, Umpqua Community College is amazing at that. They currently have 12, and I haven't asked Rachel for a while for an update on this, but 12 different training programs that are directly the result of conversations with our local employers. So they're extremely flexible at UCC, not to mention Umpqua Community College about to put 300 people downtown in what they're considering workforce housing in some old buildings that haven't seen people in them in a long time. So big, big factor there by Umpqua. They're pushing, UCC is pushing ahead very boldly and trying to lead on some of these issues that we're talking about.
What kinds of things, you've got all the issues here, but when your partnership board meets, what are some of the things that are the hardest to think through?
The things that we've been talking about, these things come up a lot. And there's a lot of head nodding, like, yeah, I get you. I understand what you're talking about with that workforce recruitment challenge. But also the wins that are announced, sometimes it might be, hey, it didn't take my guy 6 months to find a house this time. It only took a month. Or, hey, the application quality, the applications we're getting is coming up. It's getting better out there. And so those little anecdotes are really good. But we tackle all these things. We talk about where we're at and what conference did somebody go to, or what are you hearing on this front, and ideas to try to make some of these things start to operate a little better.
Just about ready to wrap up here. Brian Prowitz from the Umpqua Economic Development Partnership. If people want to find out more about what you're doing, especially people in the small business community, for example, how do they get connected with you and get a conversation started?
Yeah, the partnership's on Facebook if you want to look us up there. We're also at uedpartnership.org. And my number is 541-464-3527. So anytime, give a call and let's talk about the things you have going on. And also, we have the Southwestern Oregon Economic Summit coming up May 13th through the 15th at Seven Feathers. We're hoping to have about 200 people there to talk about preparing for the future economy in Southwest Oregon.
All right, Brian Prowitz, Umpqua Economic Development Partnership. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.